Let's make sure that we do thank a veteran. I was telling Miss Linda the other day, my dad, I think, was as proud of his service in Korea as anything he did in his life. And, you know, we may not even be here in this capacity this morning were it not for those brave men and women that served to provide our freedoms. We take them too much for granted quite often, I'm afraid. But let's pause this weekend to say thank you. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. And we are going to begin reading in verse 1, very familiar passage of Scripture. But I want us to look at it a little differently today. And how timely that Mary Lee and Will have announced their good news here this morning. I did not know about that, but I am overjoyed for them. And I think this might even be pertinent for them this morning. Beginning in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot, underline that word, would you? Cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot, underline that, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, you've already seen our good news this week. We were so blessed when Maverick came along. Long hours at the hospital, very little sleep, a little bit of worry. Some complications were involved along the way, and a C-section was needed to get him here. But I can tell you this, I'm in love with this kid already. And I am just looking forward, if the God's plan is for me to hang around, I am looking forward to watching him grow. The night he was born, I walked into that room and I was told, all right, Papa, get him. And they put him in my arms. And I looked at that kid, and my mind flooded back to when Ginger and I were awaiting the arrival of Spencer. I know this may be ancient history to you, but I'll give you a little background. Ginger and I got married in 1988. I was 25 years old. And in 1992, after a little over 4 years of marriage, Spencer came along. And I can tell you this, 25 years as a bachelor and 4 years of married life did very little to prepare me. To prepare me for the delivery room, not to mention the complications that Ginger had. We went to our appointments, we prepared our home for this new tenant that was going to be coming in, and we prayed continually for God's help through all of this. Almost 9 months later, she was early. And almost 2 days of labor, Spencer was taken by C-section. And I'll stand here and confess to you now, I still was not fully prepared for the miracle of my son. But on November 28, 1992, we welcomed a 4-pound, 1-ounce little boy. You can't tell it now, can you? He's a large man. 4 pounds, 1 ounce. Ginger ended up having to stay a couple of days to recover from the C-section. Spencer was in special care in the NICU unit for 9 days. You know what? It's hard to come to a hospital to have a baby and leave without the baby. If Ginger were here, she's with the kids this morning, but if she was here, she would tell you that those were days that we can both admit we were totally dependent upon God for His day-by-day provision, for His strength, for His protection. 28 years later, Ginger and I were blessed to become grandparents when Landon came along. That little 4-pound, 1-ounce kid was now a dad himself. Landon was beautiful, and we've been so blessed. He's got some challenges, and I want you to pray this. He hasn't spoken. I believe he will. But I want you to pray that God will let him speak. Because I'm going to tell you, the day that he calls me Papa, I've already told Spencer he's probably got my 401k that day. But yet, if that wasn't enough, then a couple of, almost 2 years later, we had Colson come along. I call him my fat boy Slim, because he's a chunky little fella. Just started walking, and he is running everywhere now. And I'm loving it. And just this week, we've been blessed with our third grandchild, another boy, with Maverick. I couldn't be happier. But I've got to stand here and confess to you this morning that I honestly find myself in about the same position as I did when Spencer was born. A grandfather, a grandparent, has a responsibility. And now that a third one has come along, I am not sure I was completely prepared for being a dad. And now I find myself, I'm not sure I'm completely prepared for being a grandfather. I hope that a little more wisdom has accompanied my aging process, but I want to make sure that when I am around these children, I teach them good, solid Christian values. I want them to see Jesus in Papa. And I got to tell you, I am keenly aware of that. The birth of a child is always breathtaking. As a pastor, I've had the privilege to experience that so many times. It's a miracle every time, even if things go off without a hitch. But I've also seen a 1 pound, 1 ounce, 11-inch-old kid be born and survive. And I've had that same child run up to me when she's about 15 years old and say, "Guess what, Uncle Roger? I'm learning to play the piano like you." And I look at her and she's just a walking, talking, moving miracle. The sweetest and the deepest things that Ginger and I saw and experienced in the weeks and months following the birth of Spencer and our grandchildren weren't mainly about them as pretty and as handsome as they are. But it's about God. Over the last couple of days, reflecting on the birth of my son and my grandchildren have reminded me that through all of that, God was in control and was all in the middle of it. And with us, as Christians, it's much the same. Minute by minute, we're understanding more of what God did when he brought us to life and made us new. Now, in our scripture for this morning, Jesus had a conversation with Nicodemus, a religious leader. He came to Jesus by night because he didn't want to be seen talking to Jesus. He was kind of on the undercover side of this to begin with. But Nicodemus had seen something in Jesus that caused him to know that he was more than just a man. Nicodemus said that nobody could do the miracles that Jesus did except God be with him. So he comes seeking something from Jesus, and Jesus tells him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Again. Nicodemus misunderstands that, wouldn't you? Well, how in the world is that going to happen? Can a man enter back into his mom and be born again? Jesus clarifies what he is saying by telling Nicodemus he must be born again by the Spirit of Almighty God. And it's in that process of being born again that regenerates us into the person that God wants us to be. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, it's not an option. It's a necessity. We may go to church every time the doors are open, but perhaps you're still searching. There's an empty place in your heart. You know that something's not really right with God. Nicodemus was a religious leader. You know, back in that time, that meant he fasted twice a week. It meant that he spent 2 hours in prayer every day. How many do that? He tithed. He knew the scriptures. And yet Jesus looks at him and says, hey, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. He didn't say your people, your family. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Why did Jesus say that? Because he could read the heart of Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was covered in religion. In religion. But he had not found fellowship with God. Don't you find it interesting that Jesus, who to me was one of the greatest storytellers of all time. I love his parables, don't you? Jesus had a way. I almost believe the Bible was written for me, because I'm just kind of a simple joko boy. But Jesus can take complicated things, and through his parables, it makes sense. Jesus could have used any example he wanted to illustrate the fact that Nicodemus needed to be regenerated. But what does he do? What does he do? He chose a baby. A baby. A little human being that can't speak, that can't walk. And Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Newborns may not be able to stay awake for more than a few hours or do anything for themselves. But they can teach us an enormous amount about the most important things in the world. For one thing, babies never stop eating. Never stop eating. Even though Spencer is kind of overwhelmed right now, I told him the other day, I said, when he gets right down to it, it's pretty simple. Our pediatrician, when we would take Spencer for his wellness visits, he used to ask two things: how's he sleeping and how's he eating? Is he sleeping good? And is he eating good? And you can look at him now and tell the answer to both of those ones. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The signs of a growing and a thriving newborn are rest and appetite. A hungry baby is a healthy baby. Too many people that profess to be Christians have convinced themselves that they're following Christ, and yet they have little to no hunger for him. Oh, we put on the Christian clothes. We put on our Sunday best. We come to church. We surround ourselves with Christians. But we leave behind the Christian diet. The problem is they're really starving for real milk. And they're substituting that with some look-alike formula of middle-class American comfort and security. But you know what? A newborn screams for more. I'm not going to be too graphic. I promise you I'm not. But the day after Maverick was born, he's being nursed. And I walked into the hospital room, and Ashley said, "I know you want to get him, Papa." I said, "I do too." She said, "I just fed him." She goes, "But he wasn't real hungry. He didn't eat a whole lot." So I picked him up, and for about 10 minutes, he was fine. But then you know what he started to do? He had a passy in his mouth. He spit that out. And he reached over and started opening his mouth toward my arm. He was hungry. I said, "Ashley, he's still hungry." "Well, he quit eating." I said, "Let me give him back to you. Won't you try him again?" He ate to his heart's content, and he came back to me, and he was just as happy as he could be. He was still hungry. When's the last time we left church? When you come to church, I hope you get fed. But Sunday to Sunday is a long time to go not eating. Do we get hungry for Christ in between? If we are hungry, if we are born again, our desire for Christ should be something that is constant. A born-again Christian has tasted of the Lord, seen that the Lord is good, just as the psalmist says. And once a born-again Christian has done that, they can never taste or get enough of Christ. The older I get in my life, the more I want. The more I want that fellowship with him. Every day brings its own undeniable need for food. Another day of new mercies. Another day of seeing Christ in a different aspect. Faith is spiritual feasting on Christ with a view to be so satisfied in him that there's no other power that can pull you away. A sign of a new birth is a desperate, persistent need for more of God in his word and in prayer. Just like babies desire milk and food to live and to grow, we should have just the same desire for Christ. Also, have you ever noticed, babies don't birth themselves. They're born. Have you ever thought about that? They're born. Birth happens to a newborn. Maverick didn't just decide, "I believe I'll come on Monday." That didn't happen. That baby may be more or less ready to leave the womb, but they're governed by God. The mother's body even helps to decide when it's time to go. The birth of a newborn doesn't celebrate the strength and intelligence and maturity of that newborn. And when we take a step back We can even admit that it doesn't ultimately celebrate the strength of the mother. Many moms feel their weakest and their most desperate in that delivery room, especially if there are complications involved. And even though sometimes they want to desperately deliver that baby on their own, they need help. A C-section was required just this week to get this baby safely out of mom. When that baby finally comes, there is a tremendous sense of victory and accomplishment. But you know that you look at that little baby and you realize that they were fighting minute by minute, contraction by contraction, to get to where they are. And all of a sudden, this thing that we were looking at from the outside that was in mom's belly, we're holding. We're holding. And they're moving, they're crying. They're real. It's been a new birth. Folks, new life happens at new birth. It is the coming into being of life. And when we are born again, it's a supernatural thing. The psalmist says, "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Did you catch that? A newborn is fearfully and wonderfully made. They're not discovered, they're made. A new birth, being born again, is fearfully and wonderfully given to us. It's not earned. It's not do it yourself. It's done for us. And by the way, when you look at birth like that, it's something that is made. It's not discovered. There is really no justification for the abortion of a child. I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's murder. It's murder. It's stopping of a life that has been made and been given to those parents. It's sad that many don't recognize that. When we are born again, we don't do this on our own. We are born of the Spirit. Babies also remind us about sin. And you're probably sitting there going, that pretty little thing you put up on the screen reminds you of sin? Their birth does. I've never loved anyone on this earth like I love my wife. But I watched her in almost 2 days go through hard, hard labor. I watched the doctors come in and put a bite stick on the wall with tape over her bed because they thought she was going into seizures. I watched the heart rate of my child that wasn't there decline until the OB would scratch his head and it would go back up because he was getting in stress. I watched her go through a C-section. And the doctor pulled that little baby out and handed him over, and he looked like he was just bones covered with skin. I watched him spend 9 days in special care with oxygen. I watched Ginger move around real slow and painfully go back and forth to the hospital for about a week to see that child. And through all of that, I was keenly aware of what God told Adam and Eve in the garden. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. ladies, I'm glad God allowed children to be born through you. I don't believe I could take it. But it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. Oh, yeah, there is happiness when it's all over with. But although I've never experienced it, I've seen it, and there is pain in between. If Adam and Eve just wouldn't have messed up, wouldn't you like to have known what childbirth would have been like? Probably been the easiest thing in the world. But God said, I'm going to remind you of sin every time this miracle happens. And I believe he did it to remind us that sin is serious. Sin is nothing to be played with. In the middle of one of the most beautiful things in this world, we're reminded of where this pain came from, why this happens. I think, as one author put it, he said, it is God's visual, audible, touchable image of the moral outrage that sin entered the world and pervades the world. And as bad as that is, do you realize that there are going to be people in hell one day that would be begging to experience childbirth rather than the horror of what hell has to offer? Now, you may think it's strange that that kind of came to my mind when I'm having such a blessed time this week, but it does. The Bible says that the whole creation now is groaning together like the pains of childbirth, just waiting for Jesus to come back. I thought about that too this week. We've been waiting for this kid to get here, counting the days. As Christians, don't we do the same thing? How many times have you just ever looked up to heaven and said, Lord, come quickly. Come now. I've been blessed in my life. I want to watch my grandkids grow if it's the Lord's will. I hope the Lord tarries a while because I want to see this kid. And I want to spoil him and send him home with you. There's a lot of things I want to experience in this world, but you know what? If the Lord split the eastern skies and took us away today where we could all be together without any pain, any suffering, any heartache, any parting anymore, that would still be okay. But right now, the world is groaning for the Lord to come back. You know, just like a new mom holding her newborn child, the born again are going to savor every second face to face with Jesus. And suddenly they are going to appreciate all that God was doing in those painful weeks and months and centuries. So when were you born again? Not just born. 1992, the year that Spencer came along, may be one of the most defining moments in my life, especially when it comes to tax forms and credit cards. But my real birth was that night that I pulled my car over on the side of Main Street in Clayton in front of Jones's at about 11:30 at night, and I said, God, fix me. Oh, I had given my life to Christ many years earlier as a child, but I got away from him. And I pulled over that Saturday night, put that car in park and said, fix me. And he did. And you know what? I've never looked back. Have I lost my way a couple of times? Absolutely. But he's always been there to get me back on the right path. I believe that's when I was truly born again, and I've had that hunger for God ever since. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, well, how can a man be born again? He wanted to understand it. Folks, it's all about faith. It's all about faith. Somebody asked me one time, he said, how in the world can a black cow eat green grass, make yellow butter, and give white milk? And he said, what if I told you, well, I'm not going to ever eat butter or milk again? You'd look at somebody and say, you're crazy. It's that faith. It's faith. It's faith. Why in the world did God send his son who never sinned and who's perfect to die the kind of death he did on Calvary's cross after going through everything he did leading up to that? Why did he do that for me? Why? I'm nobody in most circles. But to the one that gave that sacrifice, I'm his child. I'm his child. I love y'all and y'all love me. But he loves us more. He's given us a gift. He's given us an offer to be born again. It's up to us to take it. We can't inherit a new birth. Our mothers and fathers may have been the greatest born-again Christians in the world. I wish y'all could have met my mom and dad. Dad was kind of like Teddy Roosevelt. He walked softly and carried a big stick. Mom was just the opposite. She was vocal. She was vocal, but she loved Jesus, and you could tell it. We can't work our way to God. This church got some of the workingest people I've ever been around in my life. You saw that on display last Friday. Not just then, but being a part and reaching out to the community. But the Bible says we're not saved by works. It isn't by just reforming ourselves either. It's not by looking in the mirror and saying, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. We can do that. But when we say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf or I am going to make a New Year's resolution. But Isaiah said that in the sight of God, all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Here's a question. This morning, are you born again or are you just religious? Some have changed their on the outside to conform with what it looks like. But Jesus, that's what Nicodemus had done, but Jesus looked at him and said, Nicodemus, you're religious, but you need changing on the inside. On the inside. Something had disturbed Nicodemus that he went to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He disturbs us where something isn't quite right. And so we begin to look, and when we accept Christ, that's when we are born again. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. The Scripture says several things about being born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You know, all old things have passed away. All things are become new. John says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That day of being born again is just as real as the day that you were born on your birth certificate. Ginger and I will never forget the day that we met our son for the first time. He won't remember those minutes. But regardless of what he is able to recall, I saw it happen. He was born. Whether we can remember the days that we were finally made alive or not, born again. We're alive today in Christ, and that birth is just as real as any. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you're listening in. You've never experienced that new birth, being born again in Christ. It's rainy outside, but you know what? I think this is a great day for Christ to add to his family. All it takes is committing your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, confessing that you believe Jesus is alive and well, and believing that God has raised him from the dead. And my Bible says you're saved, you're born again. But without this experience, Jesus also says you cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't you want that this morning? The labor pains may be coming to an end for you. And it's time to be reborn and meet your Father God. He's waiting. The question is, are you ready? As we end our service today, would you bow and agree with me in prayer that we will ask God to rebirth every one of us to make us what we should be in his eyes? Would you bow with me and pray? Father, this morning, I know there are many here that have been born again. I don't know every heart. I don't know how many are viewing remotely that need that experience. But your word tells us that we cannot see the kingdom of God without it. So right now in this time of invitation, we ask you to touch hearts, change lives, and rebirth us into what you would have us to be. This time is yours. Have your way right now is my prayer. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.